Good morning. Welcome the seventh Sunday after Epiphany to Queen Anne Lutheran Church, proclaiming the love of God in Christ for every person. Whether you're a first-time visitor, a long-time member, or somewhere in between, we are glad you are here. I am delighted to have as our guest preacher Pastor Christy Daniels from the Church of Steadfast Love, a church with whom we've long been in relationship and continue to support in its ministry. So if you'd like to read more about Pastor Christy, there is additional information about her in your worship bulletin. A few reminders before we begin our service. As always, we invite you please to silence your phones as a gift to yourself and to your neighbor. We ask that you remain masked throughout the service, and we're inviting you, if not already, to use either a surgical mask, as I'm using, or an N95 or KN95 to keep everyone safe. Finally, we'll continue what we've been doing for the last week or two, namely sitting or kneeling during the intercessory prayers. So after the Apostles' Creed has been said, I will invite you to sit or kneel, whichever you prefer, and we'll continue there with the prayers. As always, there is an audio recording that will be available of the service today if you'd like to hear part of it again or know someone who would. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Joseph lives it in Egypt. Jesus preaches it in the gospel. The Spirit guides us into merciful lives with the power of forgiveness to reconcile what is fractured and divided. Such merciful living is the baptismal blessing of having put on Christ. It is the gift of the life-giving Spirit. It is a reflection of the glory God reveals to us in Christ. Our gathering hymn, number 359, Where Charity and Love Prevail, is in the red hymnal. Please rise as you are able. Our service begins with the apostolic greeting on page 2 of your worship bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, make us instruments of your peace, that where there is hatred, we may sow love, where there is injury, pardon, and where there is despair, hope. Grant, O divine Master, that we may seek to console, to understand, and to love in your name. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson comes from Genesis, the 45th chapter. Many years after being sold into slavery by his jealous brothers, Joseph reveals himself to them. Now the second in command in Egypt, Joseph reassures his brothers that God has used their evil intentions for good to preserve life during a devastating famine, and Joseph forgives them. A reading from Genesis. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is your father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God, for he made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that, his brothers talked with him." Word of God, word of life. Please join in singing the psalm responsively as noted in your bulletin.
Thank you.
The second lesson comes from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In the Apostles' Creed, we speak of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, using the metaphor of a planted seed and the story of Adam. Paul preaches passionately about the mystery of following Christ's perfect life into eternity. A reading from 1 Corinthians. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? Fool! What you sow does not come in life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. What is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. But if there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical and then the spiritual. The first man was from earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. So as was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
And Jesus said, but I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, this is the seventh Sunday in this season, Sundays after Epiphany. If you remember, that's when the star stopped over the stable and Jesus was encountered. So during this season, we use the color green to remind us it is a season of growth. And this season, green, is growth in our understanding of who Jesus is for us. So I like to tell the guys in the congregation, it's like a giant light bulb going on. And so our texts for this season help us understand Jesus more fully. And we're nearing the end of the season. And here we learn about what Jesus wants for us. Jesus wants for us a life and a life in abundance. Jesus wants for us a life of freedom and love and mercy and forgiveness. And he demonstrates those things for us in his own life. This text always makes me a little panicky. You know where I work in Pioneer Square, and people are asking me for things all the time. But it is the intent, right? In the Old Testament, of which Jesus is a part, the people were put into community to care for each other so that no one would be forgotten or forsaken. They would be living out that Old Testament understanding of what heaven is, that everyone would have enough, and that would be enough. If your neighbor has a need, you can provide. If you have a need, your neighbor is there to provide. Not in some domineering, patriarchal way where we have the haves and have-nots, but that we all have, and we are all called upon to give what we can. I've heard this text, and I'm sure you have too, been used as an excuse for abuse, and that is not at all what Jesus intends in this text. He does not want us to be living in fear, being battered, neglected, or abused in any way. He is calling us to action, to the action of love. He is calling us to action, the action of forgiveness of ourselves and of others, so that we can put down our burdens and grow into the people God created us to be. People who care for one another, people who live lives of righteousness and joy and hope and peace and love, where our measure does indeed flow over in abundance. I shared at the service this morning about my experience this week. I say it's always a little hard to preach on a sermon, which this is, and to come up with a sermon sometimes when I feel so much like I'm living in the text. So this week, our executive team at Compass Housing Alliance asked me to go to our building in Ballard, the Nyer Ernest House, where we have 80 single adult residents. All of them have long-term homelessness. That means they've been homeless for at least 2 years. Most of the people who live in that building have much longer periods of homelessness. And they have multiple barriers. One of those is being close to death. Often there's also some health issues going on. You have to have more than one thing. I end up doing a memorial service there about once a month. And so it's a challenging environment with lots of grief. And so they asked me to go They didn't really tell me what was going on, except for that there was somebody there who was feeling suicidal and they needed a little bit of help. So, spent 8 hours sitting in a hard chair, waiting to see what would transpire, not knowing who the person was who was in distress, just knowing that the whole building was feeling a little bit stressed out, staff and residents. And as I was sitting there, I met someone who was new in the building. He came tearing into the room where I was sitting, and he said, they said you're the pastor. Are you the pastor? Because I know I don't really look like one. And I wasn't wearing my t-shirt collar. And I said, yes, I am. He said, great, I have a question for you. It's from the Bible. It's about evil people taking over heaven. And I said, I wasn't familiar with that text. What translation were you using? They said, probably the King James. I'll go get my Bible. I'll be right back. And he did. He raced upstairs. He grabbed his Bible. He came back down. And obviously a well-loved Bible. He opened up to the passage, and it is in the scripture. A passage that we have in our lectionary that we read all the time that I had never noticed that sentence. It's just before the part with John the Baptist, when Jesus is talking about, you know, who did you come out to see, you brood of vipers, and that part that's kind of harsh, which is probably why I didn't listen as he had listened to this part of the text. And he was very anxious, kind of pacing around. He wouldn't sit down. And I said, you know, I've read this part. I need to see the larger context. So just give me a minute to read the chapter, and then I will explain a little bit about what I think is going on. And so when I started to explain it, he got really excited. He sat down in his chair, and he was leaning over the table, and then he said, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me and to explain God's word to me. And I thanked him for giving me the opportunity, and we fell into a little bit of conversation, and it turns out that this young man had grown up mostly in foster care and had spent most of his life after that in prison, a lot of it in the hole. And so I was talking about how we just had Faith Advocacy Week, Interfaith Advocacy Day, and one of the things we had been talking about was that people should not be in the hole, in isolation. And so then he got really excited that there's church people, people talking about these things. So he was up pacing around again. And we were having such a wonderful conversation out of this one opportunity of evil people taking over heaven. Pastor Dan asked me what I said to him, and I said that we, as humans, do often try and co-opt God's gift to us and make our own rules and our own ways about things, and that Jesus came into the world for our sakes so that we could live in God's kingdom of peace and mercy and love. So we went on from where we had been discussing about not being alone, that God created us to be in community, in relationship, to care about each other. So he said, it has been so challenging. You know, I came to Jesus in prison on my own, by myself. I've read the Bible so many times. And now I'm in this community, and it is so much harder to be a disciple, isn't it? Isn't it harder to be a disciple when there's other people around? I didn't tell him this, but I've told you guys this before. When I lived in Montana and my nearest neighbor was 2 miles away, it was so much easier to be nice and kind and to think good thoughts about myself. It's much harder when you're actually in relationships. But that's how God intends us to be. So we can practice being the people God calls us to be. People of forgiveness. People of mercy. People of love. So again, back to this gentleman, I said, it looks like despite these challenges, you are doing very well here. And he said, it says in the scripture you shalt love thy enemy. I said, that is the scripture for Sunday. We must learn how to forgive. It is a gift that God has given us to free us from the weight of our burdens so that we can step out of these places of sanctuary and safety into the world for the sake of the world. We must learn how to love as we have been loved for our own sakes and for the sake of the world that is hurting and crying out for God's good news. We must give, not in order that we get, but because we have already abundantly received. Look around you. Here in this place are people that care about you, people that love you. Everyone deserves that opportunity to be seen and known and loved. God has the same message for each and every one of us. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is my body for life, for forgiveness, for love, for mercy, for you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth,
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting.
We invite you at this time either to be seated or to kneel, whatever your preference, for our intercessory prayers.
The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. You teach us to love our neighbors and enemies alike. Encourage your church to love and forgive, especially when it is risky or difficult. Help us to show mercy, just as we have first received mercy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nurture fields that lie dormant, resting until it is time to bloom again. Bless farmers and all who cultivate fields and urban gardens. Bless those who care for your creation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Look upon our world with mercy, that we delight in an abundance of peace. Protect all whose lives are marred by war and civil unrest. Bring healing and basic needs to all nations that struggle against ecological disaster, especially Madagascar. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Your people cry out for mercy. Console hearts that long for forgiveness. Mend broken relationships. Heal bodies that suffer chronic pain or illness. Strengthen and deliver all whose spirits are troubled. Lord, in your mercy, you bind us together into one family. Teach us to forgive one another and to resolve conflicts with humility and patience. Bless families of all shapes and sizes and show love to those who are lonely or grieving. Lord, in your mercy, for whom or what else do the people of God pray?
Holy God, we ask for you to inspire whatever final chances there may be for diplomacy between Russia and the Ukraine. We ask that you be with the Ukrainian people and that you provide them the support they need to walk through this dark valley of the shadow. We pray as well for members of our congregation, including Betty, in hope and gratitude. We pray for Karen's brother, David, for the family of Pam, Susan's cousin. We pray for Ken, for Ben, for Sherry, for Jean, for Awatosh Mulugeta. We pray for Mindy, Peter's family and friends as Peter suffered a stroke. We pray for Sherry, we pray for Lee, for Jim, Deb, Barbara, Mary, Jan, Barb, Carol, Ruth, Denny, and Hildy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We praise you for the saints who have inherited the fullness of your kingdom. As they rest in peace, sustain us by the promise of resurrection, that they who sleep shall be awakened to the glory of a new creation. Lord, in your mercy. Since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we share these and all of our prayers to you in confidence and faith through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Please rise now as you are able for the great Thanksgiving.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, inspire us to work toward your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. If you are partaking in communion today, all baptized Christians are welcome to do so. Please take out your communable and receive at my direction. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for the love you show us in this meal. Send us to bring good news to a hurting world and to proclaim your favor to all, strengthened with the richness of your grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated briefly for announcements. Once again, welcome one and all to Queen Anne Lutheran Church. We are delighted to see you here today. If you are a visitor, we invite you to fill out a pew card in front of you. We would happily provide you with our weekly email as well as our newsletter, or if you would simply like prayers, you are able or welcome to do that as well. Once again, we want to give special thanks to Pastor Christy Daniels for being with us this morning. I enjoyed the message quite a bit. That's not the right word, and inspired is not the right word, although it was that. But I just appreciated how clear and accessible the message was. So thank you, Pastor Christy. Pastor Christy will also be joining us for the second annual Lenten Zoom brunch. That'll be on March 5th, and I've been told to either pick up, if you're attending via Zoom, a communable on your way out to use for that time, or to be sure to have bread and wine available, or grape juice, if you wish to receive communion during the brunch as well. What?
And they need a jar.
Oh, and they need a jar. Okay, so there is a jar right outside. The theme is thankfulness in time of pandemic, and I don't think it could be more appropriate. So again, welcome, Pastor Christy. Thank you. And some of you will see her again at the Lenten breakfast. All right, just a few other announcements. On Tuesday, the office will be closed. Given the fact that that Monday is a holiday, that means that Barb and staff take the following day off. So Tuesday, the office will be closed. Regular hours will resume on Wednesday. And then beginning shortly thereafter, we're going to introduce a couple new things. Kyle and I will have office hours during the week. Those will be posted and made available to you. So if you'd like to come by to speak with either of us or call us on the phone, that would be a perfect time to do it. We're covering basically every hour from 9 to 5:30 between Tuesday and Friday. So someone, if not more than one, will be in the office throughout the week. So please come by or give us a call when our office hours are posted, or contact us separately, and we'd be glad to meet you. Just a couple quick things more. Beginning on the 2nd of March, I believe, we have Ash Wednesday. That will be two services here in the sanctuary, one at 11 and one then at 7:30 that night. Thereafter, every Wednesday for the season of Lent, we will have a special devotion via Zoom that will occur at 7:30. We'll be featuring the insights and writings of the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu as an opportunity for our own reflection during this time of Lent. So please join us via Zoom beginning the Wednesday after Ash Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. We also, next week after our second service here, will be showing the movie Mission Joy, a recent documentary that came out about the Archbishop in conversation with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. So that will take place in our conference room after next Sunday's service. Some of you may know this by now, but we have amidst us in our congregation today a state champion swimmer. His name is Christian Louie. Would you stand, Christian? I got tired watching you. You are fast. Christian will be attending the University of Wyoming coming this fall. And he also established a school record in his race yesterday. So how wonderful to have you with us and to celebrate this occasion with you. Last but not least, anyone who has received a baptism from me It is nullified because I used the word we instead of I. So please let me know, and we'll go ahead and redo all our baptisms over the next month. I'm kidding. There's an article about a priest, a Catholic priest, who used the wrong pronoun, and that apparently nullified all the baptisms he did during his tenure as a priest. Here's the good news for us. It doesn't matter what pronouns you use, as long as you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are baptized legitimately. So, are there any other announcements for the good of the congregation? One last thing. We have a really incredible forum series coming up. It's called Crucifixion Theater of the Absurd. It starts March 6th and will feature another favorite here at Queen Anne, and that is Dr. Matt Whitlock, good friend of mine, professor of New Testament at Seattle University. So please join us for that as you can, and please rise now as you are able for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. Our sending hymn, one of my favorites, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing, number 545.